The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Dueling Review, a show where we sit down and we talk about comic books, a comic book that you pick over on our Patreon page, patreon.com/majorspoilers. And this week, it's Blood Syndicate, Season 1, Number 1, from DC Comics. Matthew, I'm going to let you talk about this.
Okay.
Since I know this was one that I think that you were excited about, and I can say that after reading it, I'm not excited.
Oh, see, now you got to lead with that, yeah. Back in 1993, when the Milestone Revolution popped up, Blood Syndicate was the first book that I actually got into. And I think that's because I've always loved, you know, your team comics. But Blood Syndicate was never really a team superhero book. And so what you really had was a few survivors of several different street gangs who all gained superpowers. Most of their friends died and ended up having to live together on an island outside of the city of Dakota, just, you know, trying to get by and figure out what they're going to do. But this book actually starts in a completely different place, which I'm, you know, I'm fine with. It's been 30 years. Rather than a street gang, we actually see that the two main characters of the first arc of Blood Syndicate, Tech Nine, Rolando, and Wise Son, Hannibal, are actually in combat. And I'm not sure if this is a real place.
No, it's. I think it's one of those DC, yeah, you know,
Sadaka.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like where Black Adam is and Queen Bee is. It's not the same place, Queen but Bee's it's that same kind of thing.
In that same area, yeah.
Yeah.
The imaginary
sort of Middle East. Area. Yeah, imaginary Middle East in the DC comics, yeah.
Yep, and they come home from the imaginary country of Sadaka to the city of Dakota, where they find that their old friends are still there. The character who will be Fade is there, and his sister who will be Flashback. And, of course, the kid that they used to beef with and have gang wars with, who's now, once again, horribly calling himself Holocaust.
That is just the most tone-deaf name you could do in 2022. Yeah. I mean, seriously,
you know,
I understand
it was,
wanting
it was
to
tone-deaf
keep
in 1993, too, and that was... At one point, became the point of the character. He wanted an offensive name, but, you know, the company was like, no, you have to change the name, and they ended up making a whole miniseries about the character wants to keep the offensive name, and it always
made
my teeth itch.
This was the straw that broke the camel's back for me reading this issue. I'm like, seriously, Holocaust. Mm-hmm. I don't care what comes next in this book, which frankly there were only a few pages left anyway at this point, but I was just like, I don't care what happens next, not reading this series anymore.
Yeah, and that, I mean, there are things in here where you can definitely be nope, I'm out, but the Milestone Returns books have actually started with a relatively realistic city of Dakota suddenly getting superheroes. So Icon and Static Rocket. And Rocket have all been active in their respective season one, 6-issue minis. I think right now Hardware's first mini is about to end. I want to say I just reviewed Hardware number 5 and number 6 is coming out in a couple of weeks.
It's hard to tell because, you know, everything with this line, the Rocket, the Icon, I think it's Icon and Rocket season one.
Icon and Rocket, yeah.
Those have been horribly delayed. There was a Static one that I think was horribly delayed. I think this one was supposed to come out 2 months ago. I'd have to go back and double check, but I think that this one was supposed to come out 2 months ago. So there have been nothing but delays in this, which for fans of the Wildstorm universe, I think that that could be really frustrating to say, okay, here's these comics and these characters that I want to read about. And then DC can't get a release schedule correct on these. And there could be a lot of reasons for that. Certainly pandemic is not, you know, supply chain issues is not one of them because DC was fine dealing with that. So there's probably some other delays going on, but
I really wonder if it's one of those things where We haven't necessarily had as many delays in the big titles, but we've been putting so many resources to make sure that Batman gets out every week. Because a lot of these, second and third tier books for DC are kind of,
I'm not saying
like Milestone.
No. I'm not saying that Milestone books are the only ones that are late. But when I'm having to do the weekly previews and I have to go back to like February to find the solicitation information for the book that came out that's coming out today, then you know that there's a problem. But there have been other DC books this way. So when I say that it's not a pandemic issue, I'm saying it's not a global supply chain issue. There's a couple of other things it could be. It could be that, you know, one of the creators has come down with a sickness or an illness and it has to slow down or take time off or, you know, any other number of things of the world gets in the way. The other thing I'm wondering, because I really have not read any of the other stuff from the Milestone / Wildstorm universe stuff, is this predicated on having the previous series finish?
Not exactly, at least not so far.
Because I'm wondering if a delay in one could have rippled through and made all the others late as well.
That is a possibility. I don't recall. I feel like I missed Static entirely. When I read Icon, I came in on the back half of Icon, and then Hardware I've been, you know, on. But I also tried to review Hardware for like 8 weeks straight before I finally gave up, and then Hardware came out this week. So
yeah,
it's a possibility. I'm wondering if the way these books are designed to build, if they're actually trying to build to something bigger than just a series of limiteds, and maybe the series are designed to like stair step you into a new Milestone.
Yeah, Baloui in the chat, who's listening live, I think some things from Icon and Rocket have affected this series, and they do kind of mention that a little bit in that when they're showing what is his name, Tech-9, around, he's like, oh yeah, there's these new heroes, Rocket and Icon, who've cleaned up all of the other gangs in town and gotten rid of all the drugs. And they're like, really? You guys have heroes now? And it's like, yeah. And then it's revealed that, of course, everybody of his friends all have powers. So,
yes. Yeah. And the thing that gets me about this issue, that makes me wonder about this 6-issue series, is we see 4 characters of the classic Blood Syndicate. We see Tech-9, Flashback, Fade, and the H-Word in this issue. There are 8 more Blood Syndicate members who show up in the first year of that original book back in 93. So I'm wondering, are we actually going to, is the plan to bring everybody back? Is the plan to just bring back, you know, the core characters? Because, you know, the central theme of that book was kind of a leadership problem between Tech-9 and the H-Word, with Fade kind of having to be a person in between there. And I feel like if, you know, we don't see Boogeyman and we don't see the rest of the characters from that first year or first, you know, 2 years of Blood Syndicate in these 6 issues, on the one hand, I'll be fine because, you know, they're doing something interesting here, at least from my perspective. But on the other hand, I'm like, is it Blood Syndicate if we have 4 out of 12 characters? And
oh, I'm sure you're going to get the rest of the characters. They just have to be introduced through their gang counterparts, or at least as the way this issue ends, where Holocaust's, what are they, the Bang Babies or whatever, have started to attack Tech and his friends, and they escape down into the sewers. I'm sure we're going to find the secret hideout of the people of Paris Island, and it's going to include all the rest of the characters that you're expecting to see.
Could be. And, you know, again, I'd be fine with that. One of my biggest issues with these type of revamps is you do have to skirt that line of how much of this am I actually going to review and revamp. And to their credit, a lot of the Static and a lot of the Icon really carried over almost unchanged. So far, Hardware has had the biggest, at least for me, the biggest change in both tone and presentation. But so far, based, you know, entirely on these 20-odd pages, this book kind of feels like it's going to be on that same turf. It's going to be, it's a gang joke, but it's going to be in that same area. But it looks like we may be looking at something entirely different than, you know, the gang warfare of the 90s, which, again, fine with that. But as you know, as you're creating this, as the fan or one of the seven fans of the original material, you have to ask yourself, how much different is it to where you're still calling it Blood Syndicate?
Well, and so that, you know, that does bring up the whole question. We were even talking a little bit about this in the pre-show about a bunch of shows on the CW that were canceled. And some of them are shows that are really based on nostalgia factor. And so I think when you're looking at nostalgia factor, you do have to keep a lot of that stuff in there for the fan service. Because if you change it too much, of course, then everyone's going to complain about how this isn't my Blood Syndicate or this isn't my Magnum PI or whatever it is.
Right.
And then the next thing you know, you've lost your readers. But on the other hand, if you marry it too much to the time period from which it came from, in this case, the 1990s, you also run the risk of alienating a new audience who might be saying, hey, here is a comic book that has people in it that look like me. I want to read this comic book. And then you pick it up and you're like, well, this really doesn't speak to me or whatever, you know, especially if it's stuck in the 1990s and it's some, 12-year-old who's picking up the book for the first time.
Yeah. And, you know, having the adjustment of these are kids who grew up gangbanging on Paris Island to these are kids who left Paris Island and went into the military and were in active combat. I mean, that does feel like a much more modern premise and a premise that wouldn't necessarily play in 1993. But, you know, in the year 2022, when we've been in six different wars for the last 20 years and nobody talks about it, I really feel like that part I enjoy. And I also feel like there's both with Hardware and with this book, there's a little bit of, kind of sanding off the rough edges of some of the more 90s anti-hero characters, because Hannibal, Wise Son in the original series, is just a jerk. I mean, he is an utter jerk to everyone on every page of every issue. And we slowly learn why he's a jerk, but that story never really makes any excuses for him being a jerk. And it doesn't, you know, say him being a jerk is bad. He's just a jerk. And this character that we've seen so far is still, you know, brusque, but he's not nearly the giant butthead that Wise Son was in 1993. So, and the same is true to a slightly lesser degree with Hardware in his title. It's less confrontational. And I feel like that's, again, good, but also, is it still that same character? So I'm not as angry about the Holocaust thing as you. And I feel like I really want to see where this book is going.
I think they had to keep the name, unfortunately. But
you think?
Because again, if you go around and suddenly you start renaming all of the other, if all the other characters are the same and Holocaust is different, or if you have to go in and rename all of the characters, then people are going to be like, well, why did you bring this back and call it Blood Syndicate if you're just changing?
Why did you even call it Blood Syndicate?
So you kind of had to do it, but I got to it and I was just like, oof, man, this is going to not sit well with a whole lot of people. So
yeah, that was tone deaf then and it's tone deaf now. And I feel like, you know, if that is a deal breaker for you, be aware that that's don't let it break your deal.
That was just the last straw. Here's my problem. here's my problem with Blood Syndicate is it suffers from too much and also not enough. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you're writing dialogue, so here's the too much stuff. When you're writing dialogue, every piece of dialogue that your character utters has to move the story forward. Okay. Nothing halts momentum of your story than a bunch of people just standing around talking about the weather. Okay. And the first half of this comic is a lot of, what are you going to do, bro? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? There's a whole lot of that kind of nonsense in the first half of this book. Just stuff that does not move the story forward. Stuff that needs to be relevant to what is going on. And there's just too much of that stuff. So that is the too much that's going on in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And then the not enough is the panel to panel content in that the panels feel empty like, it's hard to explain until you start looking at it and you're like, these are pretty basic from video or film terms, camera angles. These are pretty basic camera angles. And then the backgrounds are not filled out. And I'm not talking about when you're going in for a close up of a character, how you have a solid color background. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you see like city and it's like one building and yet you go to a different angle and there's like 10 building. It's and you go and it's like, okay, why all of a sudden are you not able to fill the space with stuff? So much of this issue feels empty. And it really feels like I'm not getting everything that I need out of this story. And I know it's really weird. You know, they go into this alley and they're looking at the icon wall art, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look at that, those are panels that feel full. But everything before that, all the stuff in the military, all the stuff when they're at the airport, all the stuff when they're downtown, all of that just feels like there's a lot of dead space in these frames that need to be packed or filled with something. And I'm not getting it in this book. And then there's the weird coloring that I don't, you know, not everything has to glow. Your backgrounds don't have to glow and have light wrap around your characters all the time. And there's a couple of pages of sequence where that's all it is. And it's like, please stop it. People complain about the J.J. Abrams lens flare effect, the over excessive glowy backgrounds and the light wrap also kill it in this issue. So those are the three main things that have me saying, you don't have to buy this unless you're a huge fan of what the Milestone comics were doing back in the day. I just don't feel like there's enough in this book to justify a $4.99 price tag. None of the characters that are introduced in this book do I care about. There's nothing in here that makes me want to care about these characters. There's plenty in here that make me want to punch at least one of these characters. But there is nothing in this book that makes me want any of these characters to survive.
Was this a $4.99 or a $3.99? Icon was a $3.99.
I believe this is a $4.99 book.
Nope, you were right.
And again, it's a team book, right? So it's got more characters in it, so you got to charge more for it. You know, if it's just Rocket, then that's just one character. You can take a buck off of that.
That's not how comics work.
Are you sure? Because it sure seems that way. But the bottom line is, again, those three things and then the Holocaust bit just has me giving this a big pass, and I care not to read any more of this series.
I feel like the most interesting thing for me here is, even knowing who the characters are, this is, you know, a first salvo, for lack of a better word, and it doesn't necessarily, you know, not grab me, but it also doesn't say, hey, gosh, I want to check this next thing. For me, the most fascinating part is seeing Crisscross, who was, you know, a young newcomer in 93, returning to a book that really made his name, and seeing how much Crisscross's art has evolved.
Yeah.
And that I really appreciate. I do agree with you, and I don't know if it's production and coloring that are doing this, but, you know, the glowing and the flames and the fireball effects.
Yeah. I didn't look to see who did the coloring on this, but, you know, the stuff that Crisscross is doing, there's one page where, is it Flashback is the woman?
Yeah, Flashback.
There's a full body shot of her where the hands look really wonky, but otherwise, all the other body features, facial features, backgrounds, technology, all of that stuff looks fine. I don't have a problem with any of that.
And the cars look amazing, by the way. I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, no, so it's not that I'm complaining about the art. It's just that I think there needs to be more stuff in those panels, and I'm not getting it.
Yeah, the color in this is by Will Quintana, who, it's not one of the names that I immediately go, hey, I see this a million times, you know, like Joe Caramagna or the guy from Guru Effects. But yeah, there are moments in here that I feel like would have been better without, you know, a big morning glow coming down and everything. And there are some flashback sequences that have that obvious kind of weird haziness that just feels like a quick Photoshop filter that bugs me. So I don't, I think I like this a lot more than you.
Definitely can. And I have no problem. If people love this, they can. But there's just something about it that felt off from page one. and just kept getting worse as the issue went on for me.
Even I am going to be a caveat emptor on this one, because I mean, I'm a Blood Syndicate mark. I am the old guy fan to whom this book is marketed. That big full page spread where Holocaust leaps out and grabs the guy by the neck. And, you know, it's like, oh, look how cool. Look how giant he is. Oh, and his hair looks awesome. You know, you have that moment. That was for me. And even I'm like, you know, so there are moments here that I definitely feel like are worth checking out. But I also feel like the vehemence of your negative response definitely means if you are going to buy this, faithful listener out there in the universe, you may want to, you know, check it, see if, you know, I don't know if they allow you to just flip through a book.
Oh, you know, so if you go, if you go over to the Major Spoilers website, we have previews of these comics that you can go and check out a first couple of pages of this stuff. Or if not, if you're using, you know, a Comixology or something like that, or even the DC, what is it, DC Infinite, or I can't remember which one, what DC calls theirs, they usually have a few pages of preview that you can look at. Even the DC website will have previews, and sometimes, I don't know what the deal is with Diamond now. They've started to put in more of the DC books in their selection. Yeah, I would definitely, there's definitely previews of this book out there if you want to go and see what we're talking about. Though I should say that usually you get a 4-page preview. The first 4 pages of this are all in the imaginary DC Universe Middle East War thing. So you're not going to get a real sense for
combat sequences with Flynn.
Yeah. So you're not going to get a real sense for Dakota City or Paris Island in this.
Right.
So just kind of keep that in mind. But, you know, for what it is, I think it's fine. For $4.99, it's not worth it. There's some things that I would like to, as an editor, I would sit down and ask for changes to be made to this book before I would have let it out the door. You know, it is what it is. And just be aware, some people are going to love it. Some other people are going to just say, I don't care for it either. And that's fine. Not everything is supposed to appeal to everybody. This one certainly didn't appeal to me, and it's perfectly fine that it appealed, to Matthew.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not necessarily familiar with, the writer, Jeffrey Thorne.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I picked this up, I'm like, wasn't that the actor who played
Jeffrey
Butler on Fresh Prince?
No,
the butler was named Jeffrey. Anyway, it was a whole long thing.
Jeffrey or Joffrey?
I think it's Jeffrey. I think that's like the you know, British Canadian spelling. Yeah, I don't know, but I just say Geoff. But it's if you love crisscross art, I think this is going to be good for you.
Yeah. So Jeffrey Thorne, born 1970, the first part in 1970. Screenwriter, so television producer, novelist, and actor. You may know him from the Star Trek television series. Also, Deep Space Nine. He wrote these, I guess. His novels include Star Trek Titan, Winter of the Wild Hunt, Better Angels, comics. He's done a lot of comics. Wow. He's done, here's the comics that he's done going all the way back to 2009. Honor Brigade is one of them. He's done a Dark Horse Presents Journeyman. Prodigal, he's done several of the Prodigal series. Mosaic for Marvel, Solo for Marvel, Winter Man Comics, which is the Winter Man Project, Black Panther, Battle Book, Marvel Voices in 2020, Future State Green Lantern number 1, Menagerie Declassified. He also did Future State Green Lantern number 2. And then, of course, the Green Lantern series, I guess, in 2021. So,
did he do Far Sector or...
As far as comic books,
writing the Green Lantern Far Sector, or is it just the fact that it's the same character?
It just says Future State Green Lantern 1, Future State Green Lantern 2, Truth and Justice Vixen, Planet of the Symbiotes number 2, Infinite Frontier number 0, and Green Lantern, the Green Lantern series in 2021. So
cool.
So yeah, I mean, he's got stuff under his belt. I just thought that this was not. I wanted a lot less chit chat and more. Let's bring the stuff home. So,
right. You know, in the first part of a 6-issue limited, you do want to try and hook somebody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Blood Syndicate Season 1 from DC Comics. Matthew liked it. I did not. That's fine. That's what part of Dueling Review is all about. We don't have to agree on everything, and that's okay because there's plenty of comics out there in the world. If you haven't, head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers and cast your vote for next week's comic book that we're going to read. There are six of them on the list. And you can go and vote from those six. Again, we changed that up a little bit to maybe help some people along in their comic book selections. And so next week we have on the list Marvel's Voices Identity Volume or number 1, Power Rangers number 19, Shaolin Cowboy Cruel to Be Kin number 1, Fables 151, Fables is coming back, Spectre Man Heroes number 1. Who is that? What publisher is that?
That's Antarctic Press, I think.
Oh, okay. And then from Boom Studios, I Hate This Place, number one, a.k.a. F This Place, which was the original title with the full-on four-letter word. But the publisher said, no, you got to change the title. So if you want to get F This Place, you can get it because they made it as a variant cover. But it's obviously polybagged and you had to special order it. But you will see it as I Hate This Place, number one, coming out next week. So what will it be? It's up to you. Head over to patreon.com/majorspoilers. Cast your vote and let us know. And why don't you head out to your comic book store or your Comixology app and buy some comics because there's some great comics out there. Talk with you soon.
This podcast is copyright 2022 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.